Environmentally sound for your mind. HRNradio.com.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Powell to the People, live on the radio. I'm Wayne Powell, and we have a really exciting and informative show for you today. We have UFC martial arts fighter Mitch Mitchell. Welcome, Mitch.
Hi.
So, first of all, I want to start off the way we met was he's also my plumber, a plumbing contractor, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, a very good one at that as well. But Mitch is originally from a city next to Manchester, England, and if you don't understand his accent, neither do I, so don't worry about it. No, just kidding.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
But first I want to read a letter from his UK martial arts instructor, Sensei Jed Moran, which sums up Mitch, and it's far better than I could say it. John Mitchell, or Mitch, as he was known to us, at the Salford Shotokan Center, was like most of the dojo members. He was a natural fighter. What karate did for him and the other members was to hone their fighting courage into a skill infused with dignity that martial arts is well known for. What singled Mitch out was his 6-foot-plus height and his sense of humor, coupled with his willingness to help older members of the local community. Mitch was well known in the locality for doing jobs for free, for the elderly, and less well-off families. For my part, I was lucky enough to be placed in a position of seniority simply because I'd qualified before anyone else in the art of Shotokan karate, obtaining a black belt in 1974. The entire group of men and women were and remain a source of pride to me, Mitch being a fine example of fighting ability aligned with tolerance and respect for all others, a man slow to anger. I may have taught Mitch the rudimental aspects of tactical combat, but he went on to master the art, and I again state my pride in him as first and foremost a caring man and also a fearless fighter when combat is necessary. It reminds me of The Karate Kid, sort of, in a way, the movie, and now I'm dating myself. But I absolutely agree with the description, and I had a lot of major plumbing problems in my house, and I never saw you lose your patience once, either with the job or with me. And then, of course, I found out when I saw what you were wearing, and I saw the UFC, and we got to talking, and then
right.
Also about your interesting background, which we are definitely going to talk about.
Okay.
So, first of all, let's start out with what is Shotokan karate?
Shotokan karate is Okinawan Japanese. It's traditional karate. Like a lot of the karates today, they've toned it down to make it somewhat kind of nicer. When I first came out to the United States in 1996, you know, my fundamental background was Shotokan, traditional hard karate, and I was looking for the dojo when I came out here to California. Visited several dojos and just took myself to one side and told them I just wanted to watch. And I was really disappointed in the standard and the way they were teaching, far from what I was used to. So I basically just walked out. Then I had a friend of mine who was actually doing Shotokan out here, an Irish friend of mine, Kieran, and he told me to come and watch his dojo, to check them out in Torrance. And I went and watched. And I couldn't believe what their sensei was telling them. They was telling it was all held back. It was soft. It was toned down. And I remember one statement from the sensei was when they were doing kumite, which is Japanese for sparring, fighting, was to not hit each other. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, you're doing a martial art, karate, and that's what it's all about. It's, I mean, a lot of people think that because you do martial arts, you're out looking for fights and stuff like that. It's not the way. The first move in Shotokan, traditional Shotokan, and most martial arts is a defensive mode. You are taught to defend, and then if necessary, then counterattack, and then use your skills in that way. But the standard of karate today, especially in the United States, it's been toned down. in Shotokan anyway, in my opinion, in Shotokan. There's different styles. Taekwondo, which is Korean, which is also good. You know, you got to respect any martial art, because if you don't, you know, you can get hurt. But the Taekwondo is like, it's all head guards, mitts on their feet, body armor. The Shotokan I competed in back in Europe, the only thing you were allowed to wear to defend yourself, well, for protection, was a gun shield and a box, a cup. That was it. I mean, I've had teeth knocked out. I lost a knuckle in my right hand. I've had broken bones, all kinds of, and it comes with the game. Today it's toned down. It's called what we call westernized. They've toned it down. And my sensei, who I still talk to, he's not only my sensei, he's a personal friend of mine, Jeb Moran, he was telling me that now Shotokan's been accepted into the Olympics. Mm. It's like sport karate. And I'll take a statement what my sensei says. Sport karate is good to a certain degree. It's entertainment. But does it really work? I.e., on the street.
Like for defending yourself.
For defending yourself, yeah. It's kind of toned down, sport karate. I mean, you got to respect it. Like I say, it's entertaining. But there was an occasion one time back at home, back in the UK, in the town I was raised in, Salford, Manchester. I was actually walking to the dojo for a typical night of training. And I was approached by two individuals, muggers, as we call them, and they wanted to take my personal possessions. And unfortunate for them, it didn't go the way they planned. And one ended up in a dumpster, and the other one I left semi-conscious in the gully. But I was more upset that I was going to be late for training. Mm. And when I showed up at the dojo, my sensei, Jeb Moran, you could see there was some reminiscences on me from the attacker's assailant, i.e. blood and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was concerned, he thought it was mine, and I told him what had happened. You know, he found out I was okay, and then we just carried on with the training that night, hard training, squad training that night, and it was forgot about. But like I say, today, a lot of the Shotokan I've seen out here, it's not what I'm used to. So I went looking for something else, and that's when I started going around, then I started out with the UFC, which was, you know, UFC is MMA. I trained at a gym in Torrance.
Ultimate Fighting Champion?
Yeah, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, MMA, mixed martial arts. And, you know, to go back home in the UK, when I first started involved in martial arts, I was involved in, I was doing Muay Thai, Thai boxing, down in Deansgate in Manchester with Master Toddy and Master Woody. And the Thai boxing in Europe is a lot different than it is to here, Muay Thai. There's a lot of rules out here, regulations out here, and they've taken out certain aspects, certain techniques, because they consider them dangerous. In Europe, they were never taken out. So I was involved in Muay Thai for about 18 months, and then I got to a point where I thought, you know, the body can only take so much of this punishment. So then I was looking for something more traditional, with katas and forms. And then a dear friend of mine, Michael Collins, who I sadly lost this year, early this year, to an illness. Dear friend of mine. At the time, he was training at Salford Shotokan with his daughter, Eva. And we were actually neighbors, and he says, you know, you need to come and check out this guy, Sensei Jeb Moran. He may be what you're looking for. And I went one evening just to sit and watch, and I watched his class for an hour and a half. And I thought, this is what I've been looking for. So I introduced myself to Sensei Moran. Told him what my background was. It was Muay Thai. And he said, you're more than welcome to come and train. Which I did. I started training the following week. I found the transition a little bit hard going from Muay Thai, which is, like I say, back in Europe, it's brutal. It's brutal. I mean, guys back in Thailand get killed in the ring. Transition to this traditional Shotokan, which has a more form lines, katas. But I adapted pretty well. And not only did Sensei Moran become my sensei, he became a dear friend of mine, and we are still to this day. I always looked at him like a father figure too, because, you know, I never had a father in my life. My mother raised us on our own, so I looked at him that aspect, and that was it. You know, I just fell in love with the Shotokan. I went on to compete. I was on the I was on the squad team, and today I'm ranked 5th degree black belt in Shotokan. I have my Muay Thai and also BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which I train down in Laguna.
How does Jiu-Jitsu differ from the other karate that you mentioned?
Jiu-Jitsu is, it's grappling, it's holds, it goes to the ground. And like, You know, as a lot of people may know, may not know, most fights on the street, you know, confrontations on the street, bars and such, they, a lot of them, 90% of them go to the ground. If you got jiu-jitsu background and the individual you're having a confrontation with doesn't, then you got the, I mean, it's choke holds, you get them into holds and stuff, choking people out, submitting, subduing them, and then so they can't move. But jiu-jitsu is definitely a plus. So that's what my point I'm getting to is the MMA, mixed martial arts. That's what UFC is. Mm-hmm. So now I have my background was Muay Thai, originally Muay Thai, Shotokan, and the BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which you put into one. So now you've got three aspects, and you know, you've got the Shotokan, you've got the Muay Thai, and now most professional UFC fighters have a multiple background, not just one. Most of them, it's Jiu-Jitsu. A lot of guys go to the ground, the ground guys. Some guys are stand toe-to-toe. And one of them examples is, I absolutely adore the guy, is Conor McGregor. Mm-hmm. He's from Dublin, Ireland, which my parents are Irish. So, you know, Conor is a toe-to-toe guy. Doesn't like to go to the ground, but he's proved that what he can do, he can do. He's the UFC champion. He recently had... He adapted from the martial arts. He went to boxing. He fought Mayweather, which a lot of people didn't want it to happen. They thought it was just going to be a show thing, you know.
Floyd Mayweather?
He fought Floyd Mayweather, and Conor's only 29 years old. His paycheck was $100 million.
Wow.
Which is nice to get in the ring for $100 million. Yeah. But a lot of people thought it was just a showboating to like money, to make money out of it, and I personally think it was. A lot of guys, USC guys, didn't want to see Conor in that. Mm-hmm. It's completely different. You know, boxing, you know, I have a younger brother who used to box back home. I have a personal friend, Hitman Hatton, Ricky Hatton, a professional boxer too. You know, but boxers are only taught to use one thing as a weapon, their hands. I mean, don't get me wrong, I totally respect boxers, what they do and what they can do with their hands. But to put a boxer, like Conor went from the octagon to the boxing ring, and it felt like Conor's hands were tied. Conor's used to using his legs, his knees, his elbows, anything possible to beat his opponent, and he was restricted to using his hand. And you could see at some points in the fight that Conor was struggling. You could see, and he was actually, I believe he was warned before the fight actually happened by the Boxing Federation, that if you put anything more than hands on Floyd Mayweather, you know, you're going to be in serious trouble, your career could be over, you get a huge fine. So Conor was struggling with that. And eventually, you know, Conor did get beat. The fight got stopped, I believe, in the ninth round.
A TKO.
And the referees went in and stopped it because Mayweather was, you know, getting the better of Conor, so to speak. Conor was upset that it got stopped.
Well, they always do. Whenever it's a technical knockout, and then sometimes the corner person doesn't want to throw in the towel.
Right.
And the ref won't stop the fight until, you know, because if you stop the fight prematurely, then everyone says that it was fixed or rigged or whatever, or the person who, you know, was on the short end of the TKO was upset.
I mean, Conor's background, from especially with UFC and the octagon, when a referee stops the fight, it is stopped for what we would say, you know, a better reason. The guy is unconscious, he's on the canvas. You see, the thing is with UFC, when you take him to the ground, you don't stop until the referee says, so you can still hit them with punches, blows, knees, even though
they can't defend themselves.
They can't defend. That's when the referee will jump in and stop it, seeing that the other fighter cannot defend themselves. Mm-hmm. When Conor got stopped, the fight got stopped with Mayweather. You know, Mayweather was getting the better of Conor, and he was starting to show what he could do with his hands. But Conor was upset. He said, "Look, if you're going to stop the fight, let him knock me out, let him put me down on the canvas, let me be out." And that was it. A lot of people didn't want to see that fight happen. A lot of people did. Money people did. But Conor made $100 million out of it. He got his paycheck was $100 million for nine rounds. I believe Mayweather got $200 million plus $300 million because he was the main promoter. Mm-hmm. But Conor's now back home in Ireland, Dublin, with his family. He's got a young son now. And everybody's eager and waiting to see if Conor's going to get back into the octagon, which I think he will. I think he will sometime early in the year.
When we hired our then new police chief for the city of Manhattan Beach, and she's like 5'2 or 5'3, but everyone says, you don't want to mess with her. She's a third degree black belt. And I asked her, So, Eve, do you have to register your hands as lethal weapons?
No.
She said, no, I'm the police chief. I wouldn't have to do that. But do you?
No. No, you don't. I mean, it's not necessary to do. What you're supposed to do is, and it's pretty hard to, you know, if you do have a, I mean, I've been lucky that way where I've not had to compensate, apart from that one time back home in the UK with them two individuals. No, you don't have to register with that. I mean, I've inquired about it, and you don't have to do it, no. You just have to let, personally, you're supposed to let them know, hey, before we go any further with this compensation, I just have to let you know. But 99% of people outside, out on the street who want to do you harm, don't want to stand around and let you explain what you can and what you cannot do with your body. So, no, you don't have to register.
And once I saw a movie where it was like the situation you described, it was one guy walking and then a couple of people tried to mug
right.
the person. And all of a sudden, he does this thing and he's spinning around. It's hard to, you know, to show on radio
right.
since you can't see, but it looked like, you know, something out of Karate Kid movie.
Right.
And the two people took off running in the opposite direction. And then someone said, well, where did you learn those? Are you a black belt? And he goes, no, I saw that move once on a show somewhere, and it never fails. When they see me do that, they think, right. you know, I could put them down, and it scares them away.
Yeah. You know, I've had people ask me, you know, well, why do I need to go to a dojo, or why do I need to go to a training hall to learn this? I kind of not learn this from a book. Can I not learn it from videos? And in respect to martial arts, no, you can't. You have to get in there and you have to mix it. I mean, when I used to teach back in the UK for my sensei, I used to do a couple of classes a night for him. And, you know, especially with new beginners.
The sensei's the trainer, the master.
My sensei, yeah. My sensei, Jeb Moran, he's the main guy. And, you know, we'd always get people coming into wanting to learn to train. And one of the things we always told them that you're going to be using parts of your body. And you're going to have aching muscles in part that you thought you never had because you're going to be doing stuff that your body's not used to. You know, there's going to be a lot of stretching. And what the thing we first do is we have to condition your body, get it ready for what's going to be coming. And I always stress to my new students that you're doing a martial art, Shotokan, traditional Okinawan, full contact karate. Now, one day, you know, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hit. It may not be today. It may not be 6 months. It could be a year from now. But you're going to get hurt. And you're not going to like it. But that's what you're doing. It's not like you're collecting postage stamps. You're not baking. You're doing a martial art. And I always advise them, you know, if you don't like the sound of that, you know, there's the door. You know, we're not here just to take your money, which upsets me because a lot of the dojos today, they're just about taking the money. They don't care about the students. They don't care about how far the students go. They just want that money coming in every month. And they make it. And some dojos make a great living out of it. Mm-hmm. But it's sad. I mean, it's how they do it. But I used to say to my students, I used to give them that advice, this is what's going to happen. And if you don't like it, please leave the door, you know, close the door on the way out.
When I was a kid growing up and I got tired of being bullied, and so I wanted to take a karate class. And my dad said, okay, that's fine. And my mom says, no, I don't want you. That's vicious. That's violent. And I had friends that could break a board with their hand
right.
or even a brick.
Yeah.
And you see that all the time.
Exhibition stuff, yeah.
And I thought, well, that's one thing I'd love to do, but, you know, I'd like to be able to defend myself.
Right.
And I never did that. I mean, it's also great martial arts if you want to be in shape. It's great exercise.
Yeah, it does. It keeps you in shape. I mean, I'm 57 years old now, and, you know, I never complain about getting old because I remember my uncle Sean said to me, never complain about getting old because a lot of people don't get old. So I'm 57, still training. I'm still active in it, and it does. It definitely keeps me in shape. It keeps me on my toes. I move better than most than 21, 22-year-olds.
You don't want to mess around with Mitch. I can guarantee you that. In fact, I'd be careful what I say here in the studio because he's sitting right next to me. But on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Powell to the People on the Healthy Life Radio Network.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back. You're listening to Powell to the People, live on the radio. Wayne Powell here, and I'm with UFC martial arts fighter Mitch Mitchell. So The first time I joined a gym, and of course, like you said earlier, every muscle and bone in my body was sore, and I found that I had muscles I didn't know I had.
Right.
And but what was interesting was they actually had a complimentary training session with a personal trainer, and I'd gone to the I joined maybe a couple of days earlier and was doing everything wrong, using the equipment wrong, and the instructor corrected me. I was just actually observing what other people were doing.
Right.
But I saw this one girl who, at first from a distance, and she had short hair, but I thought she was a guy, but, you know, muscles everywhere, all bulked out. I said to myself, I wouldn't want to pick a fight with her. But in your sport, there's also great women fighters as well.
Yeah, some of the professional fighters, like, you know, Ronda Rousey, she was someone you didn't want to mess with either, but Ronda Rousey's now... as far as we know, she's done with UFC because of the last two fights she had didn't go too well for Ronda. And there's talks now, there's rumors around that Ronda's now going to be getting involved in WWF, which is the wrestling. People always ask me, some people say, what's the difference between UFC and WWF? There's a big difference. Mm-hmm. I'm not downing the WWF, you know, because them people, they're great guys, big guys, in shape. I mean, one of the best, biggest ones was The Rock. He's a famous actor, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. He was a big WWF star. I think he's still involved in it somewhat. And there's talks of Ronda going to that, which, you know...
When she was first upset the first time, and then...
When she got beat by Ollie Holmes, it didn't go too well. Ronda got a real bad... It was the first time she was ever knocked out. It was a bad, bad knockout. It was a roundhouse kick with the shin bone connected, and... Ronda kind of disappeared off the scene for a while. She went into a sort of form of depression. She was upset, you know, she'd been taken off the pedestal somewhat, and there were some talks whether Ronda was going to come back again, but she did. She came back, and then her second fight didn't go too good either. The fight got stopped, and I think that's it, right? I think Ronda's done. But yeah, there were some great women in it. Misha Tate, Ollie Holmes, Cyborg, Brazilian fighter. There's some really, really big fighters in the women in the UFC. And some of them, you know, I wouldn't want to fight. Some of the women, some of them don't want to get in the wrong side. You know, getting back to women involved in martial arts, my wife, Nikki, she's petite, she's small, 120, 125 pounds. Her background is Scottish. Her grandparents were from Edinburgh, Scotland. She's from England too, but she's got that Scottish blood, the Celtic blood too. So she's going to be a little firecracker. So, you know, I started teaching Nikki. Obviously, she had advantage over everybody else. She was having private lessons. I was teaching at home. And I still feel bad for it to this day. We were doing a session one night, and I was showing the correct way to punch. And the punching, you know, a lot of power from punching comes from the hip. People don't understand that. It actually comes from the hip. And I was showing her the correct way to doing it. And all I had my right hand on her left side. And I was just showing her how the hip works. And cut a long story short, I felt two ribs pop.
Mm.
And then we ended up at the emergency room. And I basically cracked two of my wife's ribs. Not intentionally. It wasn't done intentionally. I felt so, so bad about it that I actually put a public apology on Facebook. And then my friends back home, guys I grew up with, guys I trained with, they were like, I mean, they were just they were making fun of it. Oh, you're a wife beater now and all this. You know, and it was all jokingly, but I still feel bad for it. And the funny thing is, she just irritated that old, it was over 2 years ago. She just irritated it again. And now she's got two crack ribs again.
Well, I remember I was playing volleyball and I was trying to, you know, do a spike, which I shouldn't have.
Right.
And then I was trying to recover from it, and I hit the sand, but there just happened to be a tiny rock that I landed on, and I cracked a rib. It's just a hairline fracture, but that hurt so bad. It seemed like if I moved a finger or blinked an eye, it hurt. So I could only imagine, you know, with ribs. But the interesting thing is I had on my show Tony Messenger, who's a famous stunt person,
okay.
He's a friend and neighbor, and he is a stunt double for Dolph Lundgren.
Okay.
And but he says in the stunt business, occasionally you either things didn't go choreographed the way they should, or the timing was slightly off and you get injured, or a stunt doesn't go the way it should. In fact, there's been famous stunt people that unfortunately lost their lives. But they said that's like, you know, like athletics or anything, you know, accidents happen.
Right. I mean, I, back home in England when I used to compete, I actually got 3 broken ribs, and they were actually broke. They weren't cracked, they were broke. And that sent me back for 12 to 14 weeks. And the only thing they can do with ribs is they give you painkillers and tell you to rest. You know, like my wife, Nikki's irritated at all the injury now, and she's got 2 cracked ribs again. It's a floating rib, actually, the bottom rib, which floats, which is susceptible to injury. It's easy to 1-2 damage. So now she's at home, and she's on painkillers, and she's resting. And that initially started with me 2 years ago. I actually cracked them ribs. Not intentionally. And that's like, everybody know I'm not a wifey. I don't put my hands on women. She wanted to train in martial arts, and she got, unfortunately, she got hurt, and she's the last person I want to hurt on this planet. But she's like I say, Nikki's 120 pounds wet through, and she's a little firecracker. She doesn't let size intimidate her. And that's what happens with a lot of people, too. You know, they get involved in a confrontation, and they see that the guy's bigger than them. And if you put that stent in your mind, oh my God, this guy is bigger than me. He's going to do it. It will happen. When I came from and the background I grew up in, size doesn't mean nothing. If you can't, it looks good, all that muscle and all that beef and everything. But if you don't know how to use it, I mean, going back in the day when I used to do martial arts when I first got into Muay Thai, you know, I get into confrontations on the street back, especially the neighborhood I grew up. If you didn't know how to fight, that you got into competition most day, and you got your rear end handed to you, so you had to learn. And I beat guys 3 times my size, and they would look at me like, you know, what just happened to me? So size doesn't really mean nothing. It's intimidating. But
I once observed this class for women. Defense class, where they had a martial arts arts instructor that showed them if you're being attacked, or someone if there's a confrontation, and even if, like you say, the person is bigger, they show just the basics, and I'm sure they're all martial arts moves, how to, put someone down, or how to, defensively protect yourself. And then I was talking with the instructor, and he says, this is not just for women, this is also for individuals. It's very easy to learn. You don't have to be that athletic.
Right.
But
just basic moves,
and you can protect yourself.
Right.
And but especially for women, you know, like someone that's in a dark area and someone wants to attack them or mug them or do anything, you know, other things like that.
Right.
The basic things that you can just disable them, or after they get punched once in the eyes or in the groin or wherever, they'll run, and that's all they're trained to do. It's just to stop that initial contact. Anyways, we're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Powell to the People on the Healthy Life Radio Network.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back. You're listening to Powell to the People, live on the radio. Wayne Powell here, and I'm with UFC martial arts fighter Mitch Mitchell. So when I got the free gym membership, and I said, okay, well, I might as well take advantage of it. And I wanted, to have biceps and shoulder and whatever. And in fact, the trainer said, so what are your goals? And I said, I want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he laughed the same way you're laughing, and says, well, other than that, and but he would take me through all the various exercise and showed me the proper way to use the equipment. But the one thing that was more important, or I should say as equally important, was diet and nutrition. So what's your routine, in the gym, and then also?
I've been lucky, really, because, I can eat virtually anything, and I don't gain an ounce. I have a high metabolism, natural high metabolism. I'm 6 feet on the button, 6 feet tall, and I weigh 165, 168 pounds. Been that way all my life, from high school. And there was one time back in the UK when I was doing the Muay Thai, actually. Most Muay Thai fighters are slim build, for the speed and stuff. So that worked with me. But I had a friend back home, Kerry Keyes. He owns a bodybuilding gym called Better Bodies in Drawlston, Manchester. And Kerry was a friend of mine, and I used to do a few things with him. And I told him that I wanted to get big. And he says, why? And I just said, you know, maybe it's a man thing, testosterone or whatever. I want to get a little, not too big, but I want to, because there were some guys I knew at the gym, because I did door work too. I did door security in England, in Manchester, and some of the roughest nightclubs in Manchester. I was on the door there. And a lot of the guys at the gym were there too, but they were big boys. And I thought, you know, I want to kind of get big. And I was eating and eating and eating, and I couldn't gain weight. So I actually went to the doctors and asked him. He said, you know, I want to gain weight. And he says, why? He said, you're a healthy weight, you're a healthy height. And I explained to him. So what they did, they actually did blood tests, and then that's when he came back saying that I have a high metabolism. And the doctor actually said to me, he said, I know some people who gain weight just by looking at food before they even consume it. He said, you know, some people would give their right arm to have it, and that was it. So I went back and spoke with Kerry at the gym, and Kerry said, look, I can give you some stuff that you will gain weight. But long story short, anabolic steroids. So he said, I'm going to give you a 12-week course of anabolic. And but the thing with anabolic steroids in Europe, and then it is here in the United States, in England and in Europe, and that it's not illegal to take. It's illegal to supply them, but it's not illegal to take them. So he said, I'm going to give you a relatively small dose of 50 milligrams of testosterone and 50 milligrams of decadorabolin in one shot, so to speak. So I says, okay. So I started taking it, and he told me there was two side effects. Main side effects were this. One, it could make me angry, because I'm pumping more male testosterone in my body. The other way, it could make you, I don't know how I can say it, it would make you, how can I say?
Infertile?
No, it could make your sex drive go higher.
Oh.
Because of the main. So actually, I went the opposite way. Well, I did it for 8 weeks, and I did start to grow. And I remember one night, I went down to visit my older sister, because my brother-in-law just had surgery. He'd lost a lung, he had TB. So I went down to visit my brother-in-law at my sister's house, and my sister said, I need to talk to you. She said to me, what are you taking? So I said, what are you taking? Because the only person who knew I was taking it was Kerry at the gym and myself. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, nobody gets that big that quick. So I told her what I was doing, and she said, you know, you're an idiot, you're stupid, that stuff can kill you and all this stuff. Well, anyway, shortly after that, I got into a confrontation outside one of the nightclubs, like I used to do the door, and I got into it with a big guy. I hit the guy, and he went down and knocked out, I think, he lost five of his teeth. And that was near Christmas time, and I went home. I was living on my own, and my right hand, when I woke up the next morning, my right hand was swollen like a boxing glove. I couldn't move it. So I thought I'd broken a bone, one of my metacarpals or fingers. So I drove myself to the hospital. They x-rayed it, and the doctor said, I've got good news and bad news. You haven't broken anything. And then he pointed to the x-ray. This little white fragment in the x-ray doesn't belong to you. It's a human tooth, part of a human tooth. So I basically had an infection in my hand, septicemia, and I had to be rushed into surgery. And they said there was a possibility you may lose your hand because the hand was so swollen. Fortunately, when I woke up after a 5-hour, 6-hour surgery and recovery unit, I'd lost my knuckle, I'd lost my third knuckle in the right hand. And the doctors asked me, this is when it comes out about the steroids. He said to me, I'm going to ask you a question. You can tell me some of my own business, but how long have you been taking steroids? Because it came up in my blood. My testosterone level was way off. And he knew about the decadorabolin, and that's when I basically stopped taking them, and my weight went back down to where I am again today, 165.
When you were talking about metabolism rate, and I've always been skinny all my life.
Right, right.
And sometimes people say, are you okay? You look kind of thin. But I remember one time when I got tired of, you know, looking skinny and being not so much bullied, but so I went to a nutrition store, and they says, okay, well, here's what you want. And they had all the powdered protein mixes, and take this with the shake, and you know, this, that, and the other. It wasn't steroids. At one point, there was a recommendation, creatine, which is legal, and it's, you know, natural.
Right.
And it's not a harmful substance, but I didn't want to do any of that. But I did all of the I had a lot of high calorie intake, especially a lot of high protein, and I didn't gain an inch or a pound.
No, I'm the same way. I mean, I can eat a dozen donuts, which I'm not a donut fan. I actually can't remember the last time I ate a donut, but I can eat high fat foods and my body just gets rid of it. It just gets rid, it's gone. I mean, so I'm fortunate. I mean, I have friends who are a little bit over the overweight size, you know, the border, and they want to try and get back into shape. But I told them I'll help them too. You know, I'll help them do that. I mean, I don't mind teaching people, friends, dear friends of mine. But getting back to the martial arts.
But when you get into the gym, what are the exercises that you do to stay in shape?
I do cardio. I do a lot of cardio. I go on the machines and stuff, do a lot of stretching and pulling because, you know, I've been fortunate too. I've always been supple. I remember one time back home, I was lay with my back against the couch in full box splits watching TV. And it was just natural for me. And my mother, strong Irish Catholic lady, says to me, she stopped and she seemed away. She said, you need to stop doing that because that's not normal. And if you ever want to have children, that's going to stop you. She just doesn't understand why I was there. But, I mean, I do a lot of stretching. That's one of the things, cardio. And, you know, the people, I've got some close, dear friends of mine out here. You know, I'm back home too. Who you can see they're overweight and they complain about it. You know, I'm overweight and getting into shape. And I says, we'll do it. And then you always say, I haven't got time. Well, that's not right. There's always time. It doesn't take long, 5 minutes here, you know, 10 minutes there. And the way I was taught, especially with my sensei, my dear friend, Jed Miranwood, if you use the word can't in your vocabulary, in regards to what it, you never will. If you say, I can't do this, I can't do that, you never will do it. So that word can't doesn't come in my vocabulary. And it upsets me, some of my friends, and some reviews I read, people say, well, I'm injured, I can't train. I've got this and I can't do it. I haven't got time. My job takes all my time. Well, your job, your people ain't working 24 hours a day. And my point is, this is, I'm directing at people who want to get involved in martial arts or are involved in martial arts, and they come out with some of the lamest excuses why they can't get to the gym. Is my point of view is, if you've got a family, you want to be able to protect your family. It's not a nice world out there. You know, there's a lot of naughty people out there, not so nice people. And if it ever comes to, you know, I hope it never does, it comes to a confrontation, you can't turn around and say to this individual, well, I haven't got time for this right now because I've got to do this, I've got to do that. He doesn't care about your time. He doesn't care about your well-being. I mean, and that's why I always, especially the female side, you know, there's a lot of scary people out there. I always encourage female, and especially younger children too, to get involved in some form of training. And people always say, well, what age? The youngest we take is like 5 years old, 6 years old, because the hardest thing with any child is keeping their attention. You know, their minds are all over the place. They're children, they're looking at this, looking at that. But I used to enjoy and love teaching children back home in the UK, and I had one particular student, I'll never forget his name either, as long as he's gone. His name was John Holt, and he couldn't figure out the difference between his left and his right. Every other student on the class, there was 20, 30 children, and he was always the opposite, and you could just see he wasn't registering. So I took him to one side with his parents used to come and watch him. I said, you know, this isn't working, you know, it's because I'm spending a lot of time with your son, which is basically then turned into a private lesson, and the other students are suffering. He said, you know, it's not for him. And then they asked me, he said, well, what if we do private lessons? So I said, well, I need to speak to my sensei about that. So I spoke with my sensei, Jed Moran, about it. And he said, go ahead and do it. He said, you know, you're worth this much per hour, which was a lot of money back then. It was $200 an hour. So I thought, well, I'm going to increase the price to kind of scare him away. It wasn't all about the money, like I was talking earlier, a lot of people involved. It's not about the money. I just want to teach. And they jumped on it. They said, okay, how about 2 hours? And I couldn't believe it. We did one private lesson, and I actually stopped the lesson and turned around. It's not registering. It's, you know, as long as his rear end points south, he'll never be involved in martial arts, and they took him away.
Well, I know a number of friends of mine, their kids take karate training,
right,
and they do it for the discipline aspect of it. It's a well-disciplined sport.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Powell to the People on the Healthy Life Radio Network.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Powell to the People, live on the radio. Wayne Powell here, and I'm with UFC martial arts fighter Mitch Mitchell. So despite everything that we've been talking about and the fact that he's a fifth degree black belt, he's one of the kindest people you would ever know, and he's very active in his church. But I remember when I was having major plumbing problems, and that's how I met Mitch, and all the cast iron pipe failed in my house, and it was leaking down into the kitchen and then down to the floor below, and I had a leak in the plumbing, the pipes, cast iron pipes under the slab, and then there were other things. If anything could go wrong, it did.
It went wrong, yeah.
And but Mitch, you know, because it was like, man, I don't know if I could take another thing, but you know, he would settle me down, you know, and then of course I had holes in the wall, which finally now I have a drywaller that's fixing that, and I'm doing a minor remodel.
So they're being closed now.
In my kitchen.
Okay.
Some minor things, like I had a toilet that couldn't be restored. It was an older toilet, couldn't be restored.
Yeah.
But they don't make them like they did. And then he told me where I could find something very similar. I made the initial mistake of there was a floor model, and it was a fraction of the price of what it would be if it were sold new, and it appeared to be in pretty good shape.
Right.
And the guy said it worked, but he said since it's floor model, there's no returns. And I don't know somehow how I got it in my car and got it home and all in one piece, and then it didn't work because the flushing mechanism
was damaged inside, yeah.
And so, but Mitch got a replacement one since it was under warranty, but all things going wrong. And I kind of felt like I wanted to punch something out or put my fist through the wall, but
right.
You were calm all throughout.
Yeah, I can be. I can be the nicest guy. I treat people with the utmost respect in the way I would like to be treated. You know, and life's too short to, I mean, like I say, people think because you're involved in martial arts, I go to the gym, UFC, and you know, all this guy wants to do. It's fighting hurt people. It's not that way. I do it to keep in shape, and I've always been attracted to martial arts. And what actually got me involved in martial arts and my biggest influence was Bruce Lee. When I was a youngster, I used to watch the Bruce Lee movie. And I think Bruce, you know, tragically died when he was 33 years old. But I think Bruce influenced thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people to get involved in martial arts, because he was an amazing, amazing talent. Incredible, you know, there'll never be another Bruce Lee. But he was my main reason for getting involved in martial arts. I wanted to get involved. Plus, I lived in a neighborhood what wasn't the nicest neighborhood. You know, I wanted to learn to defend myself, which, you know, I've got the Irish blood in me, the Celtic blood, and they say that the Irish like to drink and fight. Well, I don't drink. I don't like to drink. Mm-hmm. So I went the opposite way. It's not that I like to fight, but I was never a bully, but I would never be allowed to be bullied. And I think the way society, you know, I read and hear about kids, youngsters being bullied at school, and it's wrong, it's sad, it's terrible, it's horrible.
And now with the internet, there's internet bullying as well.
Right, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I always encourage people, you know, if you can, get to a gym. But, you know, do some, just go and visit the dojo, you know, and then there's so many variations of martial arts out there now. You've got Kung Fu. Got Taekwondo, which is Korean, Shotokan, Shukai, Japanese, then you got the MMA. You know, you can go to the UFC gym, they'll give you private lessons, they'll give you a one-on-one coach. They'll ask you, actually 60% of our members at the UFC in Torrance, and we got close to like 14,000 members, 60% of them don't fight. They just go for the cardio, because we got everything, you know, we got all the cardio machines there. Only like a small percentage of the people who do go fight. We have classes for children. I think children should get involved in it, and females too. I used to enjoy teaching females back home in the UK and the youngsters too, because it's not a nice world out there. It's a scary world. It's not all about fighting either. Like I said, the first thing you're taught in the martial art is a defensive mode, not to attack, you know, not to be a bully, but to defend yourself. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I talked about movie and TV stuntman Tony Messenger, who's a neighbor actually, and you know, he's actually a big guy, but he started out when he was putting himself through college. He was a bouncer at a bar.
Right.
But he was already into martial arts at that time. And either because when people have had too much to drink, or just there are some bad people.
Yeah.
That he'd had to turn away. And of course, oftentimes they want to fight. And he said they learn to regret it real quickly.
Right.
And he was also a bodyguard as well for, some high-profile celebrities.
Yeah, I mean, I did that too back at home, did some of that personal mining stuff. But like you say, especially in the nightclubs, you get the guys, you'll meet them on the door, they're actually entering the club, they're the nicest people you ever meet. You know, 5 or 6 drinks down their neck, a couple of pints, and they want to fight the world. Every night was a battlefield back there. But the difference over there in the UK, especially with security work, and then it is here, is as long as they were on the premises, they would call it, they use minimum force to remove them from the premises. And I was taught by an old bouncer, a good friend of mine, Woody, was saying, a good doorman, bouncer, will remove someone from a nightclub with their mouth, not with their hands or with their feet. You walk them out, you talk them out of the club. But like you were saying about your friend, you get some people, they just want to fight. They just want to, and they get a wake-up call real quick.
Well, sometimes it's either because of the alcohol or maybe drugs. It's not. They might be an otherwise good person, but under the influence, they're an entirely different person.
Yeah, I met one guy one night. He was a school teacher, and he tried to go over the bar because the lady had cut him off from his drink because he'd had way too much. And this guy was a school teacher and totally different person with the alcohol, It came to a confrontation. He took second prize, and then he brought the police back and tried to get me arrested for assault. And then I explained to the police officer what had happened, and then the police officer says, okay, well, this can go two ways. I'll arrest him, but also I'm going to arrest you for jumping over the bar and putting your hands on the bar, mate. What do you want to do? And that's when we found out he was actually a school teacher, and I said, you shouldn't be ashamed of yourself. You teach children. And then you're going out at night, you want to jump over a bar and hurt a lady because she won't give you any more alcohol. Mm-hmm. I've met some people, I don't know how they reached adulthood, seriously.
And by the way, we're going to have a repeat of Tony Messenger's, the show with Tony, next Monday because it's Christmas and we're off that day. Real quickly, because we're running out of time,
right?
What would be your recommendation for women that want to take a course or learn something to defend themselves?
I mean, there's a lot of clubs out there now, a lot of dojo centers where you can go and learn, but I would definitely go and check it out first, do some research on it. But, I mean, if you want to get involved in, like, a fighting, me personally, right now out here, UFC, we got such a great program for women and children, teaching you basic self-defense. And like I say, we have 14,000 members, and it's a great, great gym. But you got to be careful because, like I was talking earlier, there's some people out there, all they're interested in is your money.
Mm-hmm.
UFC isn't about that. It's all about the membership, taking care of the members and making sure they enjoy what they're doing. But before we go, can I just say a quick hello to a friend of mine?
Sure.
Tony Mancini. He's in hospital. He just had heart surgery. I know you're listening, Tommy. Sorry. Take care, brother. You're going to be good.
All right. That's great. And for the women also, great yoga is great.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be a martial art. No.
At least for exercise.
Right.
All right. Well, we're getting near the end of the show. We'll be right back to wrap things up. You're listening to Powell to the People on the Healthy Life Radio Network.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Powell to the People. That's all the time we have. I want to thank my guest, Mitch Mitchell.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure. And I just want to say hello, sweetheart. I know you're listening at home. I love you, and them ribs are going to be fine. You're going to be good.
And that's his wife, and that's a great thing to say. So I want to say that next week we won't be on the air, but we'll have movie and TV stuntman Tony Messenger. That was a great show, and it'll be an encore. I want to thank you for listening to Powell to the People, and I want to leave you with a thought. The moment you accept everything in your life is the moment you gain the power to change anything in your life. This is Wayne Powell sending you positive thoughts and good wishes. Have a great week. We'll see you back next Monday, same time, same place. Until then, bye for now.